Past and present activism runs through the latest work from Philadelphia-based artist Amy Cousins. The show is called You Will Never Have the Comfort of Our Silence Again and includes large-scale sculptures and installations that sprung from rare protest ephemera and out-of-print feminist newspapers. In creating her new exhibition, Cousins looked within, but she also looked to the past, deep into archival material.
I have spent a lot of time digging around in archives at the William Way Community Center in Philadelphia, an LGBT center, and they have some really amazing things, and it stemmed from my interest in wanting to know that history within the city I was living in and that history of the queer community. I was looking to create. I had done some more personal research in previous work relating to where my family's from and histories there and how people were perceived, how queer people were perceived in newspapers specifically, mainstream newspapers. And so then I thought, well, what about in our own words? And so then I started looking at gay newspapers and radical newspapers that circulated in the gay liberation era. And I found some really exciting stuff. So kind of went from there.
Tell me about the stuff you found that really got you excited.
Yeah, as soon as I heard about this witch puppet, my eyes kind of lit up. This was a group called Dyke Tactics in Philadelphia in the 70s, and they did a number of things. They did protests outside of snuff films, but this particularly was a protest of an equal rights bill, the death of an equal rights bill that was going to die on the floor. And so they went down to City Hall, and they borrowed a witch puppet from a friend. They took a banner that said, "You will never have the comfort of our silence again." And the witch was cackling some kind of crazy things about, "I am the lesbian trapped inside every woman. I am the woman trapped inside every man," just really going for it. And I was so struck by the playfulness and the boldness of this statement and in the face of what ended up being some real violence and authoritarian violence. The police really beat these women up at this protest. And so I was fascinated by this figure of the witch puppet, but I never actually found an image of it. And then that led me to create her in my own mind and what she stood for and spinning that stereotype of this lesbian witch spinster character and making her this goddess and queer monument.
So that's the result of your imaginings, of your creation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have made it something that could easily have, you know, appeared on the Muppet Show size kind of a thing. But instead, you made this gigantic sculpture. Mm-hmm. Why so large? And what were you trying to achieve with the size and the look and so forth?
All I knew about the puppet from various descriptions was that it was somewhere between 10 and 15 feet tall, and it was orange. And then I started looking into the history of radical puppetry, as particularly Bread and Puppet, a group in Vermont that engaged in puppetry and protest and political theater, and their trademark style was kind of big head, big hands, and then just drapey clothes. They weren't always super well crafted because their motto was kind of like, you might have to drop it to run from the police. And so I wanted to reference that history as well because I think that's also really exciting and inspiring.
It's a puppet, and there's a sort of a subversive playfulness going on there too.
Yeah, there's a subversive playfulness, and then there's also this implied teamwork and interaction. So my puppet would need three people to carry it. They would need one person for each hand post, one person to hold the body, and another person for the other hand. And so that's all embedded in the form and the material.
Amy Cousins first came to the University Gallery's attention in a juried group show the gallery hosted last year. Curator Jason Judd says they were so impressed with Cousins' work that they bestowed the Curator's Choice Award upon her entry. An invitation to show a collection of her work at the gallery soon followed. Judd says Cousins' work speaks to this moment in time with its emphasis on activism and protest, with a subversive playfulness.
These are very heavy themes, incredibly serious to many, many people. And one thing about her work is it's very accessible. And I think a lot of it is about distance, right? And we have these big windows, and you look into this space, and you see this large papier-mâché person. You see this text that looks very fun and fuzzy. You see this patent leather box that's a vitrine, right? So when you walk in, then you hear this dance music. So when you walk in, everything is kind of bright and colorful and a little bit festive. And then as you get closer, the content, the seriousness starts revealing itself to you, all the way up to reading the actual text on the wall and then thinking about that, or walking up to the 13-foot witch and reading the pin, you know, that says, do the police a favor, beat yourself up. And it becomes very in your face at that point.
In addition to her sculpture work and static installations, Cousins is employing the Queer Dance Party as part of her show, coming up on October 7th at 9 p.m. in the gallery space. Cousins sees the dance party as a survival tactic to celebrate yourself and your identity in the face of oppression.
I went to a queer dance party protest outside of the Lowe's Hotel in Philadelphia when the GOP had a retreat there. And it was so amazing because people were angry, but they were also joyful, and they were dancing, and they had signs, and they were shouting, and it, like, the combination of those emotions was so moving to me, that we could do both, that we didn't have to sacrifice our joy and our expression in order to make ourselves heard, and that we didn't have to try to live up to standards of respectability. And then when I started looking into those histories, I found that in the early 70s, this rich history of gay liberation dances, particularly at college campuses. And I started looking at flyers, and it was fascinating to me that rarely was it a gay dance without liberation in the title, that just the act of bringing your queer bodies together and moving them in a space was political, that it was this radical act to dance together. And so they were parties, but it was, in a way, a protest. And so it is this lineage that we've inherited.
Curator Jason Judd says even before the dance party, gallery visitors can get a taste of such an event in a specially roped-off area of the gallery.
There's a pre-dance party that is going on, that is an installation in the gallery, in which a playlist of wonderful dance songs plays throughout the space, with a furry disco ball and images of queer dance protests that have happened since 2016. So the queer dance party really emanates from the Orlando tragedy and shooting, which was one of the most horrific acts of violence against the queer community. Coming from that, Work for Peace is a group and project where they started celebrating that as a dance party in memory of that tragedy. So that keeps folding into it actually being activism, people using that celebration to protest. So what Amy is doing is she's bringing that celebration, that activism, into the art gallery, right? So I think it's very relevant that she asked that question while everybody's dancing in the gallery among each other, why are you dancing? And I think she asked that question very poignantly. To really experience the show, coming out and participating in the dance party is something. I think to truly have your body in the space, among the artwork, with the invited DJs, and with other people, you really get a sense of her work with the body, with inclusiveness, with rights, and to really support people's civil rights.
Cousins says having the dance party and exhibition on a university campus is very meaningful to her.
When I did a piece it's a bulletin board where I've recreated some of the old flyers, and they would have been on university campuses. And so I like thinking about the idea of it returning to a university campus. I think what I've done, it's an homage, and it honors the work of those who came before me, and so...
So maybe you could be part of a continuum.
Yeah, it would be, I guess, yeah, part of that lineage. That would be exciting, yeah.
What do you hope the gallery visitor, the casual gallery visitor, gets out of your work?
Well, my hope is that there are different points of accessibility in the work. I think a lot of the materials I'm using, like these kind of faux furs and shiny fabrics, they have a seductive quality, and I think they invite people in. But I also know that there's maybe a limit for a lot of people. There's a back section of the gallery that these lavender shag papier-mâché stanchions lead you into a black curtain. And just from being in the gallery, I've seen people be reticent to enter the curtain. You know, maybe not everyone will go in there, but those who do are rewarded with what they find. And that's okay. You know, I'm hoping that everyone can take away something different. I've had a lot of people say, oh my God, I've never heard of this. And I'm like, no, there's no reason you would have. That's why I wanted to make the work, because these events were so important to me, but were not largely remembered by society and our institutions.
But do you think that's going to change?
No, I don't think it's necessarily going to change just from my putting this work out there on the grand scale, but individually, person to person, if it means as much to one person that it meant to me finding this information, then that's exciting.
The message in Cousin's art draws its power from her creativity and focus as an artist. Curator Jason Judd says the fact that she's folded activism within art can draw a wide audience.
As much as her work is protest, is activism, it's also contemporary art, right? So it is reflexive on itself and art history, the history of craft, you know, the history of textile and applique figures, the history of puppetry, the history of text and design, the history of printmaking. So what makes Amy such an incredible artist is not only the potent content, but the inclusiveness in which she brings to material, content, and how she also approaches that, right? She approaches it with a sense of celebration, with a sense of ingenuity, right? And that ingenuity is what drew her to these protests in the first place.
That's curator Jason Judd and artist Amy Cousins. Her exhibition, You Will Never Have the Comfort of Our Silence Again, is on view at the University Galleries through October 8th. While at the university, Cousins will also be doing a printmaking collaboration with the Normal Editions Workshop. I'm Laura Kennedy.